Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Breaking up with Linda Mitchell.
Ah, you ready, girl?
Michelle and Kara. Yeah. Ooh, breaking up.
We share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
Showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love all through the land.
Hey, whoa.
Well, hello out there. Yes, yes, it is Find It Out Friday. I hope each and every one of you had a great week. You know, it's just moving so fast out there. And these cases are rising as fast as these days are moving. Look, I know we got different opinions out there. Go get it back. Go get your shots, okay? We don't want to be known for each one, kill one, okay? Please, just go out there and do that. This evening, you know, we're here to inspire, inform, encourage, educate, empower you with love and authenticity. We want you to wake up. We have a wake-up bill for you today. We have a guest coming on around 8:30 that has some information for you. Get your pencils and pads ready out there. We have Mr. Hans Johnson, president of the East Area Progressive Democratic Club, coming on. And, you know, you hear about the moderates, you hear about the conservatives, and when they speak of the progressives, they talk real fast because, you know what, the progressives pull the rug from up under you. They are the ones that actually get the job done. And before we get going, you know, youth, and indeed life itself flashes by in the blink of an eye. That is why it is important for you to ask yourself what you can do for those who are suffering, what you can do to resolve the mournful contradictions that plague society, and boldly take on these great challenges without shunning the problems and difficulties you will inevitably face. And you're going to face some because you're trying to make change out there. And I say, in order to do that, you never give up and you never retreat. So before Mr. Johnson comes on, what I'm going to do is kind of like relax you down, because I know it's been an awesome week for you, you know, in and out, up and down. You know, that's the way life goes out there. But I just want to relax you down, so I'll be playing some music, and then we'll be ready for him, and you're in for a treat. That's all I have to tell you. Welcome in to Waking Up with Linda Mac Chan. I'll break in every now and then to put some things in, because once he gets going, I do not want to disturb him. Enjoy.
Hey,
At first, God just take time. And all through my coffee break time, I say a little
prayer for you. Forever and ever, ever. Stay in my heart and I will love you. Forever,
forever
and ever,
ever.
The power of my heart, love you. Together,
together.
The power to be, to live without you. Will only be heartbreak for me.
No.
Prayer,
it is my prayer,
prayer.
fearless, and we have a motto over here. Never give in to your negativity or the negativity of anyone else. Never retreat. You want to move forward and pounce as the mighty, fierce lion, pouncing, never ever retreating, with a bright, bright, bright smile on your face, beaming and sharing. That's what it takes for you to move out, be fearless about anything that's going on with you, your life, and anybody else's life. You know, Find It Out Friday, I want to know, what did you find out about yourself this week, okay? Give us a call, 323-769-5879. Just leave us some information. What did you find out about yourself this week? Before we get going, I'm going to jazz it down for you and relax you down. But I want you to join us August 14th for the National Congress of Black Women's 11th Annual Award Ceremony. These ladies are tough. The title of that event is going to be Bridging the Gap for a Stronger Future. If you need to check in, you must be registered. It is a virtual event. You can go in to 11thawardsrsvp.evenbright, August 14th, National Congress of Black Women. Or you can go to their website, or better yet, if your time is pushing you and you're having problems getting in, give Brenda a call at 310-413-0664. That is for the National Congress of Black Women for the 11th Annual Awards Conference. And these ladies inspire, they empower, they educate. And the honorees that are going to be there are the cream of the crop. You see, honorees is not about giving to the honoree. It's what the honoree has given us. And that's what it's really, really about. So this evening, I'm just going to relax you down, play the music, and just I just want you to breathe in and breathe out and think about, what did you find out about yourself this week?
Can't you see?
have to give it up out there. We have to give up our strength, our minds, our education, our courage, and it all has to go to the people. And this evening, ladies and gentlemen, I have the president of the East Area Progressive Democrats, the largest club in Southern California. I'm proud to be a member of that club, and I'm proud to have Mr. Hans Johnson as one of my mentors that get me in the streets, that get me going, to let me know. You know, it's the moderates and the conservatives. But when you speak of the progressive, see, they talk about us real fast because we move very fast, because we are definitely for the people. And at this time, I want to say hello to Hans Johnson. Are you on the air with us? Well, give us this great information.
I am so glad to be back with you, Linda. It is a pleasure to join you this evening.
It is a pleasure to have you. I know you're busy, 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 but I just needed you to come and inform us and educate us and let us know, give us some direction, give us the insights on what has to be done, because we know that EAPD is all for the people and the change. So I'm going to be quiet over here and let you go.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back with you, Linda. It's a moment of great peril for so much of our progress in California, because, you know, we are staring down the barrel of a recall election triggered by proponents of COVID denial, of hate against Chinese and Chinese-American people, and against so much of the progress that we've made here in California over the last several years on equality, on health care, environmental protection, and on the recognition of immigrant rights. So we are dealing with a recall election triggered by petitioners who, here for Angelenos, we saw what this whole recall campaign was based on back on January 31st when they blockaded the entrance to Dodger Stadium and foreclosed people from getting their scheduled COVID vaccinations that day. You know, we had members of our club who were in the ranks of people who were denied their vaccinations at Dodger Stadium that day by those hordes of COVID deniers who were gathering signatures on the petitions to try to recall our governor, Gavin Newsom. And we also had members of our club who were passing away that day. We had one beloved member of our club, Ruby De Vera, who actually was just a few miles away from that vaccination site, passing away in hospital from COVID just 4 days after her 75th birthday. So denying COVID and its ravages was particularly cruel on that day. Interfering with people's ability to gain access to life-saving vaccines was particularly intrusive and cruel that day, and that was what was driving the recall campaign. They were gathering signatures at that event, and so there's no mystery about what forces are behind this recall election. So now it has come to the ballot, and in fact, with September 14th as Election Day, ballots are due to be mailed out in less than 2 weeks here to Californians. So this is a very important moment of truth about protecting our progress, and it's a very important moment to reject the extremism, racism, and COVID denial that's fueling this recall attack.
Whoa. Well, so what I'm seeing and I'm hearing and I'm putting out there, it has to be a no to the recall. Definitely a no.
That is exactly right. That is
okay.
Exactly right.
It has to be a no because of this ploy and the tactics and everything that's going on. What is it? The Governor Newsom has done a remarkable job, and you know, we don't do a lot of things and political information, but we're all political people, and this is something that is very important to all of us out here. And the hearsays and the naysays, and do your research, listen, when that ballot comes, get out there and vote. I'm just not quite understanding it, but in inside I understand it, but I'm boiling, okay? Because we all know what's going on.
Not enough Californians do know what's going on. Not enough Californians do recognize what is going on, that this recall election was triggered by extreme right-wing forces. Some of that was actually on display at the debate amongst the competitors vying for replacement of the governor on that second part of the recall ballot, which is a bit of a sideshow. The first part of that recall ballot, where we all need to vote no, is the important part of that ballot. And if we win a strong majority voting no on that first part of the ballot, all of the clown car of competitors on that second half of the ballot are totally irrelevant. But they did show in their debate the extremism of those trying to replace this governor. Four white men stood on that stage and talked about their opposition to public schools, about their opposition to public health, and to masking as a proven deterrent, not just to the spread of the virus, but to protecting other people from the deadly Delta variant. We saw attacks on abortion rights and on LGBT people's equality, and we saw attacks and disparagement of immigrant Californians and the progress we've made towards recognition of immigrants and immigrant families. So we should have no illusions about what is driving this attack, but we also need to do a better job of telling California neighbors about what progress we have made over the last 2 years and over the last several years that this governor is standing up for, whether it be important progress for community colleges, where Governor Newsom signed legislation to make the first 2 years of community college free for many Californians embarking on their higher education. I know you were a beneficiary of a good, strong community college program here in Los Angeles, and so many other Angelenos and Californians are poised to be, in part because of that legislation. And it also inspired this new administration. The Biden administration is picking up on the community college free tuition as part of the infrastructure plan. So we started something really important here in California. Governor Newsom signed that bill in July 2019, and now we need to protect that. That's the kind of progress that we need to stand up for and vote no on the recall to counteract.
Well, you know, I'm with you 100%. I'm over here checking off my checklist. Am I going to get on the phone bank? You know, I don't like to get out and beat the sidewalks too much, but I will get on the phone and do whatever I have to do, because it's definitely a no. It is definitely a no. And if, you know, we're all in this together, we see where things have gone, but it's time to, what can I say? I'm going to say stand up for your rights, okay? And when persons are coming in, Hans, you know, you are my mentor with getting me out in the communities and running in the elections and pulling me back from everything I've ran from all of my life, coming from a political family. I ran from it, and then I ran right into you. And I tell people, surround yourself with fine books and fine people, and you fall in that category of fine people, because you are one of my mentors, and I say one of, because you know there's diversity over here. I have to reach out like an octopus to get help from everyone, because I'm going north, south, east, and west, but it's all about the people, and that is what the East Area Progressive Democratic Club is about. We're about the people and the legislation and the things, you know, getting into the public policy. It's you. And I am so glad that you took out the time to come on and speak with us about this.
Yeah.
I know that there's some things happening regarding the community colleges. You mentioned there's going to be is that to be put out? Is that next week?
Yes, we have two events coming up. You know, community colleges are a key issue in this election, and it's a great chance to educate Californians about the progress we're making in advancing accessible community colleges that continue to play a role throughout the course of people's careers and their development of their own expertise in a variety of fields. Community colleges are not just a vehicle for 18 to 24-year-olds. Community colleges are there for people across the span of of their learning and of their careers. And what we are doing is holding a rally on the 15th of August at 2 o'clock at L.A. City College, a place that you know well, close to your heart. We have a 2 p.m. Sunday, August 15th, a rally with many local elected officials and with a chance to learn more about what's at stake in the recall, but also pick up materials to share with family, friends, and neighbors to get out that no vote to reject this right-wing recall and this power grab of executive authority in California. That rally is a safe outdoor gathering at the community college that's near and dear to many of us here on the greater east side of Los Angeles. And then we have later in that same week an online forum at on the 20th, on Friday, August 20th at 11 o'clock. We have an online forum about the valuable role that community colleges play with leaders of our community college system here in Los Angeles, as well as the linchpin of the board of the San Bernardino Community College District Board, Gloria Harrison, and State Senator Anthony Portantino, and the USC governing School of Government Representative Brad Jacob on that panel. It's going to be a great gathering with Michelle Henderson and Andra Hoffman from the LA Community College District Board, and a great chance to discuss how we can implement the governor's vision in making community colleges an even more vibrant central role for the career paths of Californians over the next
decade.
Well,
I have to speak on the career paths because, you know, LACC, it was my first stage that I crossed, and I didn't go back at the age of 18. And I will tell anyone that LACC prepared me to take on that journey because of how you – they're great. They have great professors. They take out the time, and they're very, very serious. No, I didn't start off at the great universities in the beginning, but it was LACC that got me prepared to take that move.
What do you remember about that? Who played a key role that you remember –
who played a key role for me was the department there. Most of the community colleges do not have TRIO. I was a member of TRIO. TRIO is a department that only takes, I think, 60 students from the time they step in the door until they walk you out of there. And TRIO, if that grade point dropped a half a point, you was pulling it up. And they grabbed your hand, they encouraged you, and they made sure that you took your next step. TRIO was connected in with Community College Partners, which dealt with all the state universities, UCLA, UC Santa Barbara, and they would prepare tours and take the students to get them acclimated so that you could make a great decision. All community colleges do not have a TRIO, but TRIO was basically the department that played the greatest part, and my political science teacher that I told him, I hate politics, I'm not going to do this, and I ended up working with the mayor's phone bank. That's when I got my feet wet and started doing that, and was at his inauguration in the VIP section looking at everybody. And it all started at LACC because they pay attention. Community colleges are a little bit different than the universities because they have to pay close attention. You have such a diverse mixture there. You have people coming in from everywhere. They never even maybe read a chapter of a book. And people shun community college, but that is your base because from community from LACC, stepping across that first stage, I stepped into Antioch University for my BA.
Right.
But it was LACC that had me ready to go in and kick in those doors because you have to put those knee-high boots on when you step on those university campuses. And especially a private university, CCCP, I worked as a summer scholar through LACC TRIO for 2 years at UCLA because I was going to transfer into UCLA, but I decided to go the other route to Antioch. And leaving Antioch, pushed me to University of Laverne, where I was honored
right.
my master's. But it was LACC that laid the ground, that got you prepared, that kept that stamina up, that let you see the importance of study and the importance of higher education. They didn't, I mean, just the things that you would have to do from psychology to sociology. I mean, the professors, and they have the best music department and theater in the city is LACC. So when you say community colleges and you said Los Angeles City College, the department that played the vital part, and of course all the professors were there because they were so supportive. And I had a psychology teacher that she was Dr. Rochelle, and I went into her office and I said, I want a plaque like that that said PhD. She said, you know, you're the second person that said that to me. And I said, well, what did the first one do? She said, he did it. I said, well, will you be my mentor? So she was my mentor, Dr. Rochelle Sakula. And she was over the psychology department, and I wrote papers. And she took my papers and used them in her other classes. You know, they were very, very supportive. Once they see that momentum is there and you're willing to do it, they push you all the way. Like I said, that was the first stage I crossed. And then from there, I crossed two more, and I'm still deciding if I want to cross another one. But I said three is okay right now. But it was LACC that got me going. And LACC, I started this radio show when I was at LACC, 2 hours a morning. And I would hit that button and go hit the campus. And the person that that mentored me into this, that I always say privileged to, I met them at a rally for the community colleges and the high schools.
Uh-huh.
That's when they were blending everything together. So it's always been about higher ed, but it starts with the community college. I am so glad that the tuition is set up the way that it is. I'm so glad that the rally is going to be held, because anyone that understands the movement of higher ed, you have to have a base, and your base is your community colleges, because when you hit those university campuses, you should already know. Does that make sense, Hans?
It does, and it's a reminder that the very pathways of opportunity that were so crucial to you are not and cannot be taken for granted. There are those in our state who still want to crimp and who want to take away those pathways of opportunity that are so vital for young learners, for people from backgrounds where pathways into advanced learning and higher ed have not been a commonplace, and for people in mid-career who want to either shift gears or gain the skills to take the next step on the career path that they've already embarked on. That's what community colleges are there for, but yet we have folks still in our politics in this state who aren't believers in that pipeline or in that set of pathways for building opportunity. And one of the reasons why we are doing this rally, one of the reasons why we are making community college issues a linchpin of our messaging to voters to vote no on this recall, is that we have to preserve and invest in these pathways of opportunity. We cannot take them for granted. They don't just grow on trees. They are something that we have to choose and to invest in. And this governor has done that, and we need to keep that pathway of opportunity open.
Well, I feel the only way that they're trying to get them out the way, California carries the nation, and, you know, we're pretty do what we do here, and the person, so, you know, recall them and put something else up there, but my side is don't care who's in that seat. The people rule, okay, and I will always feel that way. And I know legislation and persons like the club, yourself, that's out there having people inform themselves, do research, and basically stand up for their rights. You know, some people, we cannot just be lackadaisical about this stuff. I try to be real calm about it, but, you know, I will get on there and get on that grandstand. So I have to hold myself back. I am so glad that you were able to come on and share this with us. It's definitely a no, and it should be a no. Like you said, the first part of the ballot is the most important, so that's something good to know, so you're not wasting your time being thoroughly confused out there. But it doesn't make any sense to me. It makes sense because I understand it and I understand what's being
right.
done. But I also know that it's the people that rule, and it's the people that need to know that they rule, okay? They need to know.
That's
it.
Right. And I just want to remind people, you can get materials to help educate your neighbors, your family, and friends by just dropping a line to eapd.la@gmail.com. That is eapd.la@gmail.com. We will get you stickers. We'll get you material that you can share. And even if you need it, a sign for your window against the recall. So there should be no gap in being able to fill in the people close to you about what's at stake here, and there should be no hesitation about voting no. Those ballots are going to be arriving in less than 2 weeks. They go out on the 16th. They should be in our mailboxes by the 18th, and we should get those ballots in with alacrity. But we do see from the polling that many people who are poised to be opponents or who are not yet decided about this recall are not tuning in. So we do have to break through the summer doldrums. Many people are not yet engaging or even paying attention to what is at stake here. And much that we have fought for and sacrificed for could be lost. Unless we do tune in and that we take our power as voters seriously and vote no against this hateful, backwards, right-wing power grab. You know, to break it down for just a moment for listeners, you know, Republican officials have not been able to win a statewide election in California in 15 years. And so it's important that people recognize this is a strategy. This recall attack, trying to take advantage of some of the disinformation that has gone on about COVID, the denial that is continuing to be propagated amongst Californians about mask wearing and the origins of the coronavirus. They are trying to take advantage of the confusion and some of the frustration amongst Californians about this protracted pandemic, which sadly continues to drag on in part because of refusal to adopt science-based masking and public health standards. But we have a very serious threat here that all Californians should take seriously and that we do need to defeat. And this election, unless we do tune in, we have a great deal to lose by letting that ballot just go unattended to. Or, God forbid, people voting in a confused fashion, thinking that by making a notch on their ballot for one position that they're achieving something else. It should be clear.
Right.
This is a no vote. This is a no vote on that ballot that Californians will be mailed, and that should be arriving in our mailboxes on the 18th of August.
Well, Hans Johnson, you know I got my bullhorn ready here, and I got these boots on. And I will be contacting. I need some flyers, some stickers, some posters for immediately. I'll get with you. I'll know how I can pick those up or what we can do about
They'll be dropped off to you on Sunday. Look for that at your doorstep on this Sunday morning. I make sure they will be getting there.
Okay, well, I'm waiting on them, and I'm learning how to say no, and I want to teach everybody else how to say no, and especially on this, because this is serious business, and as you say, the ploy, the scam, coming in any direction, it's like the divisiveness, the divide and conquer that we've been dealing with, the mask, the don't wear the mask. I'm telling everybody, we're not supposed to be about each one, kill one. We're supposed to be about each one, teach one. Put on your mask, get your shot, okay? Do like the old folks say, do it and see what happened, or don't do it and see what happened. But me personally, don't get caught up in the mix-up here, because you stand back and open, clear your glasses, go get an eye exam or an eye surgery or whatever so you can see clear out here, because this is some serious stuff. And we already know what's up, and my thing is, so we know it's not going to happen, but people have the power, and they need to understand that. We vote them in. That's why, like EAPD, if you don't do the correct thing, you're going to pull that rug out from under them. So people, understand where your greatness and your power is out here, and it's all about no. Okay, you say no to everything.
One last thing I want to make sure people understand, Linda, is this does have connection back to national politics, and here is the connection. You know, we have a senior senator here in California who is 88 years old and who is not in the prime of her life or career.
Right,
and
right.
And who appoints a senator if there is a vacancy in our Senate seats? Well, we just saw that. The governor makes that appointment. This governor
makes
that appointment.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
For the seat vacated by now Vice President Kamala Harris. So
wow.
We have the terrible peril of, if this recall were to go through with a Republican governor, we could potentially see a Senate appointment that would flip the balance of power in our U.S. Senate. And we know how disastrous it would be to hand the gavel over to Mitch McConnell in the U.S.
Oh,
Senate.
Please. I'm not going to even go no further. Well, Hans, we got a few seconds here. I want my stuff here on Sunday morning so I can get busy. We're going to have to wrap it up. Please come back with us again. I was trying to get you here for a whole hour, but you wouldn't give it to me. But I'm so glad. I know that you're busy, but we going to have you back again. I'm waiting on my materials, and I'm going to be screaming no through this bullhorn. Okay?
Thank you.
Say no to everything else. Say no to this, because this is serious business. I got a big mouth, and you started all of this. So I have to follow my mentor's direction. I have so much appreciation for you, throwing me out in the community, getting me ready and things. Like I said, I've been running from it all my life, but I can't get away from it. And I've always had a big mouth, so it's time for me to use it. And now learning a different way to do things. People, say no out there. Understand the power is in the people, okay? Please understand your greatness. Step into it. Stay there and take everybody else with you. Hans, on that note, we're going to have to say goodnight to you. We love you.
Thank you.
I'll see you on the 15th. Hans Johnson, the president of the East Area Progressive Democrats, giving you that information at here. Please clean out the wax and listen. Understand what we're up against here. We cannot let this happen. Okay? We won't let it happen. Hans, we love you.
Thank you, Linda. Vote no,
everyone.
You. Thanks again.
Thank you, Hans Johnson, president of the EAPD East Area Progressive Democrats.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up.
Showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love all through the land.